Need your prayers this morning. Most of all, we need the Lord to bless His Word, to give utterance, to be able to bring out the burden that He's given. He'd help us to be able to receive the portion of it that He wants for us this morning. Appreciate being able to serve a faithful God. Always impressed that our God is one that's able to keep us in the midst of this world. He's able to keep us not only if we go and seal ourselves away somehow in a convent, but that His power and grace is such that He can keep us right in the midst of it, and we can be faithful to Him and preserve us blameless. I'd like to look at the book of Luke, 22nd chapters, written on board the burden the Lord's given me is about the power of darkness. Luke 22, time drawing to a close of Jesus, time of crucifixion, as He was in the garden praying and they came for Him. It came out, beginning in the 50th verse, one of them, as we know, Peter, smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And He touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to Him, "Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." And then they took Him and led Him and brought Him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. We know this story here of what was about to take place, and Jesus knew it as well. He knew what lay before Him. He said, "For this cause, I came into the world. I don't pray that the Lord would remove me out of it." Of course, He prayed, "Lord, if it be Your will, nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." I didn't come to this moment, to this time, for this purpose I came into the world. I didn't come here to just be delivered out of it. You remember the times that it says the people would come against Jesus and rail against Him and become so angry with Him that they would purpose, "We're going to take Him." One time they took Him to the brow of a hill, and they desired to cast Him off. But it says Jesus, passing through the midst of them, went on His way. Different times whenever the enemy purposed and desired. Through Herod, remember when Jesus was but 2 years old, His purpose and His desire was to be able to destroy the Son of God. But of course He couldn't do that. It was not His time. And Jesus had even said, "My time has not yet come. You don't have any power against Me, but what the Father allows you to have." As He was standing trial, remember, as He is being told, "Don't you know that I have this power over you? You don't have any power, but what the Father allows you to have." So in those times, whenever the enemy, and we see through that the purpose and the desire of the enemy, it's not to play nice. It's not to allow both to be able to commingle. His desire is to utterly destroy righteousness, to utterly destroy all the works that the Lord wants to be able to do. When He was 2 years old there, He was delivered through Egypt. As we know, His time was not yet come. In those times, whenever they desired with all they could to be able to destroy the enemy working through them, but it wasn't His time. But I want us to see here, whenever His time was come, whenever the time was come for which He came into the world, they allowed, He said, "Now it's your time. Whenever I was with you in the temple, you didn't do these things. But now that it is your time, now that the Father has ordained it to be so, that I can be crucified, now that His hand is being pulled back, if you will." Remember Jesus even hanging on the cross. He said, "Father, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Why have You looked away from Me?" For this purpose, for this cause, to pull back His hand, to allow the power of darkness to work its work, to allow for a little while. And you look at this story, and it seemed like, no doubt to the disciples even, it's lost. All is lost. It's Jesus, we thought you had all power. And we know that they didn't understand very clearly the things that were to take place. But whenever the Lord allows the enemy to have his way, folks, none of us are a match to stand against the enemy. None of us are a match to be able to withhold or withstand the power that he has. The beautiful message and hope of the gospel is greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. But you know, there was no denial in that there's a power of the world. There was no denial in that the enemy has power. The enemy has power and ability to accomplish his works. I want to remind us in the book of Luke. Maybe we can turn to it, the 4th chapter of Luke. The temptation of Jesus. The enemy came and he tempted him by stones to make it into bread. He took him up, the 5th verse, into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him. Notice Jesus didn't even refute him. Jesus didn't turn and say, you don't have power. You don't have power over the kingdoms of this world. There was no refuting of that because he is the prince of this world. He is the ruler of the kingdom of darkness. And he has power. For this cause, Jesus came into the world to break that power, to break the bonds and the chains that no man could break. The power of the enemy, the power of the one passage I believe it speaks of it as a strong man that holds safe his possessions. That's why the world was under darkness. The enemy had them bound. But there came one who was stronger than the strong man. Praise the Lord. There is a strong man. There is one that has this world in bondage. He has the power over them. You think the enemy doesn't have power in working in our nation as he's working? The works of darkness that we see just growing all around us? But I'm thankful for one that is stronger than him. I'm thankful for one that was able to break the power of darkness. Instead, he told him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But the enemy knew that in what he presented, you know what this was called? A temptation. It was to be something that was an appeal unto Jesus. It was to be something that could be an allurement to him. I have the power of this kingdom and I can hand it over. But it wasn't something to be handed over. It wasn't something that Jesus was coming and asking permission of the devil. Will you give me the keys of your kingdom? Will you give me? But no, instead he came to conquer it, to destroy it. For this cause was the Son of God manifested. 1 John, I believe, the 2nd chapter. That he might destroy the works of the devil. He came to overthrow the works of the devil. He didn't have to just stand and wait for permission. Stand and wait for the enemy to pass his power off to him. Whenever the disciples went out as Jesus had sent them out and they marveled. Because they were able to do that that no man was able to do. They were able to speak unto the demons and they were cast out. Do we want to say that the enemy doesn't have power? What about Legion? Whenever Legion was possessed by a power, that was a power now. You take and they would try to chain him. But there was a power that overtook him. There was a power that motivated what he did that you weren't able to contain. You weren't able to chain by human instruments, by human ways of approaching it. You know, it's really the same with sin. People try to deal with sin. They try to deal with the effects of it. They try to mitigate the consequences of sin. But man's never able to overturn it. Never able to conquer sin. It has a power that's greater than I am. But whenever there was one named Jesus that came along, and that the power within Legion had to realize, "Oh, Jesus, Son of Nazareth, what do you have to do with us?" And he spoke the word, and that man's darkness turned to light. That man's obscurity and darkness and hopelessness, in a moment of time by the power of God, was transformed and changed, and light came in to his life. I'm so thankful to serve a God of light, a God that has all power in heaven and in earth. But this moment of the power of darkness came. And I've wondered sometimes, how could it have been? When you have one that came and worked so much good, that came and healed the sick, that came and cleansed the lepers, that opened the blinded eyes, how could you refute that? How could you stand and say this is not a good thing? Because of the darkness of men's hearts. And it came to the place, let's look here in the first chapter of John. Bear with us a while. I have a number of scriptures that I want to touch on. First chapter of John. The 8th verse, "He was not that light," speaking of John the Baptist, "but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Now think about this. The world was made by him. There he stood, the creator of the ones that were spitting in his face. And yet they looked on that and they weren't able to see it. They looked on that and they beheld. Scripture says in Peter, I believe, one of the writings of Peter, that had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why didn't they know it? They looked on it, and yet their eyes that saw the image didn't see it. Their eyes that saw the miracles didn't see it. Their ears that heard the teachings of Jesus, they heard the sounds. They had ears to hear, but yet they didn't hear. The world was in darkness. Darkness, more than a literal darkness that we see by the eyes or don't see through the eyes. The darkness of the soul. The darkness of the heart of man, the understanding of man. Isaiah 60th chapter says, second verse, "Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." Gross darkness that would cover the hearts of the people, that they're not able to see, they're not able to understand, even having so evidently set before them. First chapter of Romans, I believe, it speaks of those who defiled themselves. It says, "For this are they willingly ignorant of." That they choose to be ignorant. There is a willing ignorance. That's what darkness is. Darkness is a choice that I wish to dwell in darkness. Because there is an alternative. There is an option. I don't have to dwell in a land of darkness. I can, because of the gift that we've been talking about, I can choose, "Lord, I want the light. Lord, I want my heart to be illuminated." But because their hearts were evil. The 3rd chapter of John. 19th verse, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light." Why? Because their deeds were evil. Because it says, "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." You know, if there was nothing in the hearts of these people, the high priest and those that were the elders that were coming up against Jesus, if there was nothing of evil or defilement within their hearts, there should have been something that ran to Jesus. There should have been something that welcomed it. "I want the light. It exposes things in my heart. And I've been wanting to see those things about myself." But what you have instead were a people that wished to walk in darkness. They enjoyed their ignorance. Ignorance is bliss. We've heard it said. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear that. I want to shut it off because it reproves something within me. It makes me feel guilty. Why was it that those that heard the message of Stephen, that they heard that and they were cut to their hearts, and instead of dealing with it, what did they do? They went and killed Stephen. They went and stoned the messenger. I don't want to hear it. Folks, that's darkness. That's darkness upon the heart and the mind and understanding of men. Where men, because I've got something in my heart that I want to be able to cover up, that I don't want to have to deal with, I choose darkness rather than light. And it's a choice that we all make. It's a choice that really we make throughout our lives. Whether I love the dark or I embrace the light. Fourth chapter of Proverbs in the 19th verse says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Does that sound like our world today? Don't even know what they're stumbling at. Don't even have a clue. The ideas and the concepts of what right and wrong are have been so blurred and so obscured and darkened to the hearts of men. How are we even to the place that we're debating the things that we're debating? Why is it that we've so lost our moral bearing that we don't know the most simple things that we should be able to understand of what marriage is and all these sorts of things that because of the darkness, because of the blindness of men's hearts. You know, the way sin works. Many times there are sins that a person will say, "I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want anything to do with this kind of sin over here. I see this sin. I don't want it. I don't like it. But I do want to indulge in my own little sins. I do want to be able in these sins over here." Well, I got news for us. To whom we yield ourselves servants, His servants we are to whom we yield ourselves. If we give ourselves to the enemy, to the one that has this power of darkness, you know, he has a greater power than ourselves. And so this world has found themselves in a place that they've condoned one sin and yet tried to say, somehow, this one over here is wrong. And it's brought confusion. It's brought blindness because of the condition of their own hearts. Because there's a place that I've wanted to indulge in just a little bit of darkness. Just a little bit of sin. And I've justified that and I've walked in that. Oh, I can see that that's wrong. But I have such a hard time seeing what I'm doing is wrong. Folks, it's not just the pagans, the heathens. You know, it's false Christianity that's brought us to a lot of the place that we're in. Those that have promoted, just as an example, those that have promoted and taught the false teaching that the Bible says we sin every day. Take the scripture out of context. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's good enough for me. You know where you start getting interpretations like that? The Spirit doesn't lead in that kind of way. But if I have sin in my life, if I have a little bit of darkness in my life, and yet I still want to be able to maintain a profession, what am I going to do? Oh, I like that scripture. I like that. Well, I'm going to use that scripture. And I start to try to make my own path. But what have we gotten as a result of it? Those that walk in darkness. Well, you know, what's the difference? It starts with a little confusion. If I've got this sin, what's the difference between this sin and that sin? You know what? Who am I to judge if they have sin in their life? Oh, I can't. And it's even become a thing now where it's considered valuable or it's considered noteworthy. If you can just go ahead and confess, "Oh, I'm sinful. I'm a terrible Christian. I'm a terrible person." And that's something to feel good about because I'm honest. Honesty is a good thing. But whenever I start getting into that kind of a place, inviting darkness, you know, it's led down this path of darkness that grows more and more. The power of darkness that has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. Going further and further away from the light. I know I have this sin. I've heard folks say of gay marriage. Those that have even known the truth that I've known, that have chosen to go that path in that way, that have even for a space of time said, I know it's sinful. I know it's wrong. But I believe that God is loving enough that somehow when I get to heaven, He's going to say, come on in and I'm going to crack a beer. I've heard it. I'm going to crack a beer with Jesus and we're going to talk about it. You see the blindness of men's hearts, the place that you get to over time. But I heard this individual say, or read what he had written. He said, you know, I know the Bible seems to say that it's wrong, but you know what else is wrong? Double marriage. And I see churches condoning that all the time. And I see people that are accepted and preaching and coming to services and good standing members. I see you accepting that in their life. So why are you going to accept that and you're not going to accept this? And really, there's a point to it. We can't allow ourselves to walk in the shadows. We can't allow ourselves to begin to go down that path. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Second Corinthians 4, the third verse. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This is something that is an active activity of the enemy. It's an active desire and work of the enemy to keep those that walk in darkness, those that are under His dominion, those that choose to place themselves outside of the protection of God's plan of salvation, that choose to allow and imbibe sin into the heart. He's chosen to blind the minds. Does He have the power to do it? If I belong to Him, He does. To blind the minds of those that believe not. For what purpose? Lest the glorious light of the gospel should be able to shine unto them. Been reading some lately about North Korea. Dictatorship, communist state of sorts, hold their people in great strict control. They have finally started allowing the internet into North Korea, but they control it. The only sites that they allow their people to access are the state-sanctioned sites that have their own propaganda and their own information. Those in that nation who get their information from television, they get state-run television shows that are only giving information that's approved by the state. Newspapers are all controlled by the state. You think there are any columnists writing in that are dissenting against the government? Certainly not. Certainly no other viewpoint or idea. The idea and the thought is we're going to control everything that you think. Now why would you have to do that? If you really have a nation that's far superior to any other nation, why would I have to try to prevent my people from seeing what other nations are like? Why would I have to try to hold them in darkness? Because it's not the case. Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds. Saw a little 5-minute or so clip on YouTube of a propaganda film that was put out by the North Koreans. It was translated into English, and what it was showing was what it's like in America. And so they went, and I don't believe most of the footage that I saw was America. But what I did see in those few minutes were pictures of soup kitchens, pictures of dirty alleyways, pictures of those that were sleeping on the bench. There was an image of a couple people that were sitting on a bench, snow all around them and bundled up and filthy, dirty and all, and big bags of something sitting next to them. And the voice that was talking about it says, "This is modern America." Said their friends are sitting here. Their other friends have died and they've put them in the bags to either side of them so they can have their friends there with them. Nothing to do with the bodies. America's like that. They show that people that were gaunt and hungry, they said most people in America get very tight rations of food. The only thing that they're able to have as far as warmth or blankets is what the good people of North Korea send over to America to provide warmth for the Americans. They said many of them only get one cup of coffee a day. That's their rations. They go and they scoop up a cup of snow. I guess they don't like cold because they said there's snow all over America. They take a cup of snow and they take it up to the line and they make a weak concoction of coffee. And that's your allotment of food for the day. It's a cup of coffee. They showed on and on like that, and I looked at that and thought, how sad. How foolish. There's nothing that could be further from the truth. The blanket that I have on my bed is not from North Korea. And I do have a bed to sleep on, not a park bench. But that's the way darkness works. That's the way the prince of darkness works. A kingdom like this, a ruler like this that desires to hold his people in darkness. I don't want you to get out there and see what America's really like. It's going to make us look bad. It's going to make us look, the infrastructure and all that we've provided, it's going to show that it's far inferior to what you could have in another nation. So it's done through propaganda. We'll feed you the information that you need to know. We'll give you and disseminate to you what we want you to think. I hope we see the parallel. The God of this world works the same way. The God of this world, I've heard folks talk about salvation. Oh, I'd never want to live that way. I couldn't ever live that way. The church of God, oh, how repressive and oppressive and racial and on and on and on. And I think, no, I'm part of it. I'm there. Just like when I was seeing that video clip. That's not America. That's not what reality is. That's not truth. How do I know? Because I'm there. Because I see for myself what it is. But if you're on the outside looking in, you know what the God of this world does? He blinds the mind. He obscures the vision that we have so that whenever I look at it, it's going to look that way. He's going to feed me information. Many times the way propaganda works is it feeds something that I want to believe. I want to be able to believe that we've got the strongest military in the world. I like that. So when I see a propaganda folder as a North Korean, putting myself in their shoes, that shows us just running over American tanks and all, I like that. It just causes something to swell up within me. The enemy will do the same thing. Where does it start? We've talked about and read, it starts with the condition of the heart. It starts with there being darkness within the heart. Men love darkness rather than light. I'd like to look here at Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew 6 and verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If the eye be evil, it doesn't matter if there's light all around. It doesn't matter if there's information all around that's available. If you don't have access to it, if you're not able to see it, it doesn't do you any good. To those that walk in darkness, to those that have walking after the flesh, it's going to obscure the vision that I have. You can read in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, maybe it is, about the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and how they weren't able to look and steadfastly behold Moses. Remember that? Because they looked on Moses and because of their own sinful hearts, They weren't able to look at it. So he had to put a veil over their face. Then it goes on to say, yet today, is the veil yet remaining on the hearts of men? They're still not able to steadfastly look and behold the truth. Lest the glorious light of the gospel. Now, I've got to control this thing. Oh, I can't allow them to see what the church of God is truly like. What does the scripture say? Oh, taste and see. You know that's written by somebody that's tasting. Oh, taste and see. I've felt that so many times. I look on those that are on the outside, maybe looking in, maybe not. Like, oh, if only you could taste. If only you could see what it's like for yourself. Give it a day. Don't go into it like that. But if you could just taste for a day, you'd realize it's far superior to the wages of sin. It's far superior to what the world has to offer. Oh, I'd like even to some of the North Koreans. I'd love to be able to tell you what America's really like. I'd love to be able to show you some other pictures. Because I live there. But you know, we can't do that. I don't have the power to break somebody's darkness. I don't have the power to pull back the scales off of their eyes. But Lord, I pray somehow, break through the power of darkness, that the glorious light of the gospel would be able to shine forth unto people. Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians 2, verse 1. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh, and the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Ye walk according to the course of this world. There are so many people that are being swept along today in our nation by the course of this world, by the way that it's going, their mindsets, why the scripture tells us, don't be conformed unto the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't think like the world thinks. Don't look at the things the world looks at. Don't see it the way the world looks at it. They're being swept along, not knowing of what they stumble. People that have one time had an idea of good, of wrong, right and wrong, that now suddenly say, I don't see it. Then now suddenly they say, well, you know, who am I to say? They love each other, let them do their own thing. I don't know. I don't really feel the way I used to feel about it anymore. Where are convictions anymore? People have lost the vision. Their minds have been blinded. According to the prince of the power of the air. There is a power of the air. There are spirits all around us. And maybe we don't think about it too much. But there are spirits that influence this world. The prince of this world cometh, Jesus said, even unto him. Yet he found nothing in me. He came to me. Nahum, the second chapter. There's a warning that says, he that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Watch the way. Keep the munitions. Make thy loins strong. Fortify thy power mightily. There's one that's come up before you and before me, before every one of us in this time and generation of darkness that we live in. Folks, he's going to come to every one of us. And it's going to start more subtly than just the gross darkness that's out in the world. It's going to start with some confusion. It's going to start with a cloudiness in my experience, in my mind. But it's going to start going down this path of darkness. May the Lord help us to have something within us that whenever the prince of this world comes, he has nothing in me. Satan, you don't have influence here. Your power of darkness doesn't hold influence here. Because he says, walk not as children of the night, but as children of the day. You've been transformed. You don't walk anymore after the flesh and after darkness. You're now, he says, he's delivered us from the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of his dear Son. He's transformed, translated us, picked us up out of that. No longer do we walk after darkness. No longer do we walk in confusion and darkness of spiritual understanding. But He's made us to be children of the light, to walk with Him. I want to look at the 12th chapter of John. I believe this is a challenge and a warning to every one of us. John 12 and verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." You know what stands out to me in that? While. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. You know, it's a warning to every one of us that we guard ourselves, that we walk in the light. Lord, help me that I walk in the fullness of light. What is it going to require? That I have a willingness for my deeds to be reproved. That I have a willingness for the Lord to expose any area of my life. There's not a desire or a mentality or a thought process within me that would rise up and try to justify Clint. That would try to justify who I am and the way I'm doing things and the way I'm thinking about things and maybe even go to the Scriptures to try to prove that I'm all right. Lord, help me to walk in the light. Lord, help me to realize this thing, I can't take it for granted. The alternative here is that darkness is going to come upon me. You know, that's the default setting for every one of us since the fall of Adam is darkness. If we just default back to our own ways of thinking, the prince of this world will be sure that we walk in darkness. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Almost finished. 2 Thessalonians 2. Beginning with the 9th verse. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Not a very pleasant thing to consider if I don't have a love for the truth. What is the safeguard? What is the protection then? Lord, help me to have a love for the truth. Lord, help me. I see this in a twofold way. Lord, help me to love the truth about who I am. Not like the Laodiceans who he said, "You think this, but I see you and you're naked and poor and blind and destitute. But you have a whole different picture of yourself. I've created an image about me that's like the propaganda that the enemy offers. It feeds something within me that I want to believe about myself. I want to try to build this picture of who I am and why I'm okay and why this is acceptable. I don't want that. Lord, I don't want propaganda." You know the blessing of the truth? You don't have to hide it, twist it, conform it. You don't have to try to do anything with it. It's here, available, open to every one of us. It's not just through the words of men that we accept it. But Lord, help me to search the Scriptures daily to see whether these things be so, that I have a heart to do it, to be one that comes to the light. Lord, I've got to know if this is right. I've got to know your opinion on this thing. I've got to know what you think about me, Lord. I can't stand in my own wisdom or justification of myself. I don't want to come up holding some propaganda poster saying, "See who I am?" And the real picture is something completely different. It's something that's distorted beyond what reality is. So Lord, help me to have a love of the truth about myself. Second fold, I believe, is a love for the truth. I love the Word. To have a love for the Word of God. You know, doctrine has become an unpopular word. You know what doctrine is? It's life. It's truth. Jesus told the Pharisees, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The very thing that I'm telling you that you're resisting and kicking against and bucking up against and refusing to hear. You're trying to find fault with me so you can justify not listening to the things that I have to say to you. Why is it? The very thing that I'm telling you, it's not pleasant to you. Scripture says that there would be those that do not endure sound doctrine, but they would after their own lust heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Those that will tell me about myself the things that I want to hear. Folks, again, I say this is not just the heathen and paganism. Yes, that's growing. Rather, just recently there was one of the first ceremonies of the Church of Satan held on the steps of the Capitol of Michigan. Public, no law. Those things that used to be hidden, now just boldly proclaimed and out there. But it's not just there. That's not the extent of what darkness is. The enemy is much more clever than that. The enemy can transform himself, the prince of darkness can transform himself into an angel of light and come and present himself. How could he do such a thing? How did he come to Jesus? He came to Jesus with Scripture. He came to Jesus with the Word of God. Thus it is written. Oh, how many people are being brought into a place of deception by one who presents himself as an angel of light. Folks, there are churches on just about any town, any area that I'm sure I can find that'll tell me what I want to believe. That'll tell me, that'll back me up. This is what I believe about myself. I believe this is okay. Do you agree? You do? That backs me up. That's what I need. The Pharisees were that way. They loved the honor of men more than the honor of God. They were more concerned about what men would say about them than what the truth is. That's where it is for Lord. Help us to have a love of the truth. Not what's filtered or twisted to try to fit what I want to believe. But Lord, help me to believe the truth. To have a love for it. Lord, everything, every precept, every principle. Those things that are hard. Those things that are easy. Those things that cut against me. Lord, help me not to buck up against it. Maybe there are places that I don't have a full understanding. That's okay. If I have a heart that's honest, that says, Lord, I want the truth. Lord, I want to know what you require. I want to know what your word really says. And I lay aside the flesh. I lay aside the carnal desires, the ulterior motives that would serve my own interest. Lord, I just want the truth. Do you believe the Lord's not faithful to reveal His Word unto everyone that comes to Him with that kind of heart? I believe with all my heart that He is. Before we close, I'd like to go to the 6th chapter of Revelation. That opportunity recently to work with some folks that asking questions about what the Bible teaches, and I found them to be so confused, so twisted in their thinking. I think, how do you get there? How do you get to that kind of place to justify wickedness in the life, sin? We're all unrighteous and filthy and no hope of any of us being saved. But I do get a hold of this one thing over here, or I get an idea that what God requires of us today is to observe a literal Sabbath day, and therein is our righteousness. The enemy has confused and twisted minds with so many different ideas and doctrines and philosophies. I worked with a man that was a Catholic. We'd talk often about his beliefs and how he was brought up. He'd usually be the one that'd bring it up. Clint, what about this? You hear about this? And so we'd talk sometimes, and there were a few openings that I saw a glimpse of an opening that he would really be questioning. I don't understand this. And I'd begin talking to him a little bit. And just say, I've never heard that before. And I'd tell him, will you consider? What if the things that you've always heard, what if they're wrong? What if it's not the truth? He said, Clint, I will never change. I want to be clear about that. I will never change. I have always been Catholic. My father was Catholic. I'm Catholic. He told me that, Clint, I don't read the scriptures. I don't read the Bible. And I think, well, that ought to make this discussion easy. But he says the nuns in Catholic school always told me, you don't need to read the Bible. We'll tell you what you need to think. We'll tell you what you need to know. Don't even bother going to the Bible. You'll just get confused. You'll not understand it anyway. So just come to us and we'll give you what you need to know. So I want us to look here at the sixth chapter of Revelation. And when he had opened the third seal, the fifth verse, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. I want us to get a picture of what I believe this is talking about. A rider that sat on a black horse. Speaking of a religious system that's marked and clothed by darkness, by blackness, a symbol of something that's evil, that's wickedness, but it comes on the heels of that which it refers to as Roman pagan system of belief, paganism. What followed that was a religious system that took the mantle of paganism, and in many ways it adopted that and converted it and put a religious label on it. And so it was declared as officially the state religion, declared to be Christianity is our official religion, and started setting up a hierarchy within the church and started distorting truth, but in the name of Christianity. And then we get this picture of one that sits on it. So this representing a religious system under the name of Christianity that sits on it with a pair of balances and measures out, if you look at these prices, they are exorbitant. It should have been something more like, if I remember correctly, for wheat, 40 measures of wheat. 30 to 40 measures of wheat for a penny. That was a day's wages. So what it's saying here is everything that you work for, everything that you give yourself to, all of the wages that you bring in, the only thing it's able to give you is just enough to be able to survive for one day. Just enough. And it's coming through a system that's giving me, that's doling out, here's what you need. Here's what you need. And maybe there's some truth to it, but it's just enough to keep me alive. It should have been something like 40 to 50 measures of barley. So it was something that for all that I give. We hear about the dark ages. Those times whenever it's hard for me to imagine, but there was no Bible that was open and available to the masses to be able to read and understand. We don't live in that time. We live in a time when Bibles are in almost every home. But yet I don't see a whole lot of difference. I see many similarities. This was a religious system under the name of Christianity. You know, we can tend to be of a mindset here, and I want to be clear and be careful that I'm not trying to judge those that are, or be harsh or critical of those that don't have understanding. But I want us to realize the scriptures are very clear about Babylon. We can tend to think that it's a lesser evil, that it, well, at least they're here. At least they're getting some truth. But I want us to realize that how the scriptures look at false Christianity. How it looks at those under the guise of Christianity that would dole out. Yes, maybe you can get some truth. Yes, maybe they're able to get a hold. But everything that they get, it's limited. They get so much false doctrine with it. They're able to just get maybe a drip, drip, drip. And try to exist on what little bit that I can get. Oh, folks, there's a better way. There's still a cry out against Babylon in the Word of God. The message is still the same. It's not for us to go beat and bash and say, look at us and look at you poor folks. But to realize and to have a vision, there is a better way. There is a way that is, it's a way of light. It's a way of holiness, a highway of holiness that every one of us, no more will you say every man to your brother, know the Lord. Because every one of you shall know the Lord for yourself. Oh, praise the Lord. Every one of us can go in and have access to the Father. That I can go in and have an understanding. It doesn't have to be propaganda. The things that I hear over the pulpit. Every one of us have the liberty and the responsibility that I go and I search it out. Lord, does that line up with the plumb line? Lord, is that the truth? We have that privilege to know the truth. Not to know Clint's version of the truth. Not to know this version. Not to know what the ministers as a body have come up with or voted on or decreed. Lord, what is the truth? That's what I want to understand. That's what I want to have a vision of. And I want to encourage us today. Let's have a love for the truth. Let's walk not in darkness, but in light. In every place the Lord shines light upon my path, that I welcome it and receive it and embrace it. To have a love of the truth. I'd like to close in the first chapter of Colossians. Colossians 1. Beginning with the 12th verse, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Praise God.
Folks, that's what the Lord has for every one of us. It's not an oppressive way. That's what darkness is. Light sets free. Light gives liberty. In thy light, we see light. With thee is the fountain of life. Oh, if they would have seen that. Those that delivered Jesus up to be crucified. Had they seen, had they come to a place to say, yes, what I hear you saying is talking exactly of me. That's who I am. Lord, have mercy on me. Don't you know the glorious light of the gospel would have illuminated and flooded their own souls as well? But instead, they come down to a place, blinded, obscured, no idea the hope of salvation. No idea the way. What is truth? Don't know the way. I come down to the end of my life. I still don't have a bright hope or a clear way before me. I'm stumbling. I'm groping about trying to find my way. Oh, you had opportunity. Walk while you have the light. Lest darkness come upon you. Thank the Lord this morning for the light. May every one of us have a love and an appreciation for it. Lord, help me that I'll walk in the light, that I not be subject unto the power of darkness. You pray for me. Amen.